Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Fast. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are on location for our first time, I don't know, in a long time.
Yeah, we are on location. We are on Diversey. Yeah. We're in Chicago with Ravinia. I can't believe I'm saying that. We're on location at Ravinia.
Yeah. Last time we were here was Super Bowl, like a Monday Night Football.
It was a football game, yeah.
Bears game.
We were just asking the guys that. We just said welcome to our guests. We got the whole crew here.
Yeah.
Where do we start? Let me start with you guys.
What's up? I'm Chris. I'm one of the founders of Ravinia Brewing Company.
Jeff, also one of the founders of Ravinia Brewing Company.
Raul, head brewer.
And I'm Catherine. I'm the director of operations.
Nice, man. We got everyone here. We usually like have one or two people.
So. Yeah. We partied with Chris and Jeff on the other side before the tap room was open.
Yeah.
And just so we can frame it for people, I don't know if people know, this was the
Ale Syndicate.
Long, long ago, this was the old proprietorship. What was it? Ale Syndicate, yeah. Arcade, and
Around the
Bend. Around the Bend.
Yeah.
And now it's Ravinia. And walk us through this, man. You guys are in Highland Park. How does setting up this place compare to setting up the original location in Highland Park?
That's a good question. The commonality is they both took way longer than we anticipated.
Yes.
The reality is Highland Park is really a tap room. You guys have been there. It's a small space. We are able to, have people come in to experience our beers, experience our food, but all the production is happening here. This one basically was an empty vessel when we moved in. And while Ale Syndicate and those guys were here, it was largely a warehouse, and we really had to start from scratch again. So, the whole process of getting, permits and architects and builders, and then ultimately, going through all those hurdles with the city, it's just one left turn after another. But I think we were hoping originally to have this taproom open 9 months ago, but you guys know the story of COVID,
yeah,
all that kind of fun stuff. We're a couple weeks out from opening our doors now, man. So we're happy with the journey.
Awesome. And even before the Highland Park one, you had hoped to have like one in Chicago before even that one, right? So
we've been looking at really finding a place to co-locate our brewing production and a tap room within Chicago for a long time. So. We're happy to finally be able to see that reality happen.
Yeah, what's fun. What's pretty crazy is like a lot of things have derailed multiple projects, but somehow COVID did not derail this. The one thing that didn't get derailed. Yeah, this one was quite the project.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just talking about the amount of work and effort into making this happen. The place up in Ravinia, we were able to turn that around from renting the place to opening in about 5 months. And this basically was February of 2019 until May of 2021, so a little over 2 years. But they're completely different, right. So.
Man, I don't even know where to go with all this.
I'm just staring at the bar, first of all. I think the bar takes up the basically most of the tap room, the length of the tap room. At one point in Chicago history, everybody was getting their bar done by the same guy. The guys that were doing they did Haymarket's bar, they did Three Floyds bar. I wonder if they're still
Betty Red.
Yeah,
Those are the old breaker guys.
Yeah, that's they. The old breaker guys.
Heinens or Heinemann's or something?
That was it. It was Heinemann's, yeah. That's what it reminded me of, this big, sprawling, kind of gorgeous centerpiece bar here is what I'm staring at.
I think similar inspiration. This one is it's a true Chicago antique. So this is a pre-Prohibition bar. We should have showed you the tour ahead of time, but we think this was about 100 years old.
No shit.
Yeah. So lived in Chicago.
Lincoln Park
for about 70 years, and then it traveled up to New Berlin, Wisconsin, where I lived for another 30 years, and we brought it back to its rightful home.
Like, you're making all this stuff up. This is for real.
So,
it's
for real. So seriously,
we've been told
anyone.
That part's true.
That's cool, though, man.
Anyone who can tell us the bar that this was in Lincoln Park will get a free growler of beer.
Yeah.
Just let us know.
And maybe more.
Maybe more. There's a little more history behind it, too, supposedly from the guy who owned the bar and that we bought it from indirectly at an auction. There's supposedly a bullet hole, which there is a bullet hole, but it's supposedly from John Dillinger from the 1930s. So that's the story.
So we'll show you guys the bullet hole in a little bit.
I feel like someone like Steve Hamburg will come in and know.
And know exactly. So
somebody will know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
We had Liz from Brazil.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
And she was like, I need to look at this and this and this. Like, she's like all on it right now.
So as far as like the brewing capacity here is much bigger than the Highland Park one. How does that, what's going to be the difference? How have beers, were you brewing at the Highland Park one, or are you just brewing here?
No, just here. I came on board at the beginning of 2020, January, so I've been here a little over a year. And, I think there was a few batches being done here for a little bit, and coming in just getting all the production up and running over here and getting all the recipes dialed in, and then just being able to. And it was a weird year, man. Like, so.
Step it back. Like, we opened or started brewing probably in November, about 2 months before Raul jumped on, and we were just doing our core lineup of beers that we sell and distribute. And, you know, occasionally we would have a collab or a different beer that we're, but we didn't have a lot of space at our contract brewing facility to do a lot of original stuff. So Raul kind of came on and was correcting some of the recipes. You know, anytime you move to a new facility, you got to get everything dialed in, get it right, and I'll let him take it from there.
Yeah, and anytime you're contract brewing, you know, you're going to have to realign with your practices, how you have your equipment, you know, how it efficiencies, how you're going to get the translation between like someone else's facility to your facility, and just getting to familiarize myself with the beers, to be honest, too. I mean, I think
yeah,
when I jumped, when I came on,
them previously?
I had the Rooster, Flight of the Rooster, the Saison. That was the only beer I had before I had come on. So trying the beers while I'm trying to like brew them, and knowing that they were brewed to, you know, everybody here knows what they're supposed to be, you know, and getting into just looking at the recipes, taking a look at the ingredients, man, really, and just trying to see how that is really going to get up over here. Obviously, the fermenters are a different size, so scaling up some things are going to be a little trickier. But yeah, just trying to keep the core brands afloat and seeing how to best gauge, you know, month by month over the last year where we're looking at with our one-offs, with our seasonals, you know, special projects like barrel aging things. Just seeing, you know, we want all those things to come out, and just trying to gauge how to best have them come to the market. And yeah, definitely having this place open up isn't going to be a nice boost to that.
Were you brewing somewhere else beforehand in Chicago?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, I was with Five Rabbit for a number of years from the time they opened up.
I've seen this guy somewhere before.
Yeah, my dreads were a lot longer back then.
They're still long, man. You just got them.
I know, right?
Up today.
I got them. Yeah, I got them back. Yeah, I was over there. Started home brewing. Probably like mid to late, like 20, like maybe like 2008 or something like that, 2009.
So that's cool that you know the, I guess, issues or things that arise with contract brewing.
And oh, sure.
Then having to like reverse engineer that. You were doing it the other way beforehand there in some degrees.
So. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You know, that's very, I mean, especially right now, it's a really popular way for people to get, you know, what we want out in the market without having to, you know, wait until we're fully open, fully operational. You got to have that, you know, sort of the cart before the horse kind of thing sometimes when it comes to licensing, and, you know, it's nice. But yeah, man, as far as that goes, it's been interesting, you know, looking at all the previous people who have brewed these beers and what they've had success with, you know, the variety of ingredients and the iterations that they've come through. And you know, definitely been really happy with how the beers have been coming out, especially, you know, coming up to getting this leg of everything opened up and, you know, reaching a wider market. And
how's it, I know there's new beer on. Yeah. How does it feel doing that, like, versus, like, figure out these perfectly, but now I get to play around.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. You know, it's the Versi Station. It's a juicy session pale. So that's a lot of words right there. You know, but it's definitely a hazier beer. You know, we're not trying to kick you in the face with any bitterness, but it definitely has a nice hop presence to it. The two focal hops are Euconaut and Mosaic. So those familiar with them, you know, you get kind of a citrus, a little bit of dank, pineapple really, and some of those more like fruity or tropical characteristics. And it's been interesting playing around with this, especially because a lot of the, you know, this is coming in at, I believe, like 4.95%.
Oh, nice.
And it's been a little trickier to get it to be that low with maintaining some of those, you know, juicier characteristics. But it's been nice to have this available as well. I mean, we just packaged it up, I think, maybe a week or so ago.
Batch,
right?
You're drinking it, right?
Yeah.
I'm grabbing those.
This is any indication of what you guys are doing. This is really fun. Because I've been having a lot of sweet-ass tails and IPAs lately. And
yeah.
I'm just not a big fan of those. So this is right in my wheelhouse, right? Nice, fun, hot presence, little dry, not too fucking sweet. So I'm in on this. So this is exciting.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we definitely want people to be drinking these, you know, as many as they can responsibly, right? so yeah, that sweetness that you touched on, man, like, you know, it's we definitely like to have the body in this beer, but, you know, not that, like, leftover sweetness that's going to make you kind of leave the beer after, you know, one, maybe two. So.
And I think a lot of the beers go well with food, and you guys are going to have food here, and I think that's great. But there's a lot of tap rooms that don't have food, so I think that hope you guys stand out here.
You want to talk about the tacos, don't you, Brad?
You could have just said that, right?
Yeah, you may know this. In Highland Park, where we started, they require food for any brewery.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So we didn't have an option. You can't have a bar in Highland Park. So we kind of started with that, and you know, we got partnered up with Chef Elohim, who helped us kind of create the taco concept. God, it's worked out really well for us. And, you know, kind of fast forward a little bit. You know, we now have a much bigger kitchen here than
right.
We got up north. We brought in a new kind of head chef down here, a guy named Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos was previously he was the kitchen manager over at Lagunitas Brew Pub.
Oh, right. Sure.
So he knows beer, and he's a beer guy, and you know, he's brought a couple of new guys, you know, from his team are joining him, and, you know, kind of taking our original concept, but, you know, right, I mean, we literally have the space for three tacos up north at a time.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You guys have been there, right?
It reminds me of the original Kuma's kitchen, if you haven't been to the original Kuma's.
Yeah.
It's just like this really small kitchen.
Yeah.
It didn't work, yeah.
And, I mean, we'll have, out of the gate, 9 tacos?
I think 8 or 9. Just looking at the menu.
And then plus some specials on top of that, you know, it just, I know Raul and, you know, and Juan Carlos were already talking about just some collaborative efforts on, you know, we're doing a veggie El Pastor taco. And the protein in the veggie is hibiscus flower. And so he's actually cooking the hibiscus flower, and it's great, you know, it's bringing all the juice and the hibiscus out, which is going to be awesome, like in margaritas or possibly, you know, in the beer, you know, beer down the line. And, so I think there's just, it opens up a lot of fun collaboration opportunities between food and beer.
You know, Brad was talking about production a little bit earlier with the size of the tanks, and you were talking about contract brewing.
Yep.
Was that part of the motivation for opening a second space, was maybe removing yourself from the contract? area?
Yeah, how does
that all work out?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, we are, that was always the Highland Park. We have a pilot system up there. It's very limited ability up there. So we always knew in order to be serious, we needed to have full control over our own supply chain. And, you know, I mean, as you heard from Raul, you know, this is just the nature of the beast. You know, with contract brewing, you've got to manage someone else's timeline. You know, you've got, you know, it's expensive. And, you know, and then your ability to be creative is limited. You know, you're going to be, you know, you need to know that when I'm spending all this money on beer, it's going to be, you know, right the first time. And so you tend to play it safe. And, you know, so I think there's the opportunity to give Raul and his team, you know, really creative license to do so much more is awesome here. So, and that was always part of the vision. And I think that's, if you go back to the, we always say our pillars are community, craft, and creation. And I think where we struggled with a little bit is on the creation, is because we haven't had the freedom and the capacity to really be innovative to the level we want. But I, you know, now it's kind of shackles are off to some extent. So.
And this was all planned before COVID. Do you think the COVID thing maybe helped other breweries maybe decide, like, hey, we got to get control of this ourselves, because another place gets shut down, that's our beer. Like, we can't control what's going on over there. So it's kind of an interesting fact now, I guess.
Yeah, the whole underlines of contract brewing could be, you know, a book somebody writes someday about all the issues and just crap going on behind the scenes that nobody's aware of.
Well, so I think some of us are aware of.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago, like, one of the big contract breweries, something broke there. And so everything was just shut down for weeks, and it became this massive scramble just within our distributor. Okay, who else has a similar type product that we can sell? Because we're not going to have this. And all of that is happening just because a lot of people are producing beer out of this one space.
Yeah.
Sketchbook was telling us that. Right?
That's part of their reason.
That was part of the reason they went to Skokie, yeah, because of the thing with whoever it was.
Yeah.
And the brewing district, I forget. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Something I wanted to ask about the plan, right? Like, when you move into a space like this, did you guys have internal conversations about, because not everybody opens a second location, everybody talks about it. Right? No one actually does it, so you guys should be proud of that. Was there any conversation around, should we name this something totally different than what's in Highland Park? Did you guys ever have that talk in the process?
I'm assuming it came up once or twice,
yeah.
But I don't think...
There was never any serious
discussion about it. Right. So,
it was always kind of part of the plan was like, hey, we're from Highland Park, you know, this is where we want to have the first tap room, but there was never never even a plan to create a big brew house up there to be able to make the beer and to be able to do it up there. It was always going to be a Chicago brewery.
Yeah.
But we're both from Highland Park. We both live like five blocks from the tap room. We needed a tap room. So it was a nice place to kind of start, get the brand going, do a little contract brewing to get the distribution going, and then make the big splash. And the big splash in Chicago was always going to be kind of like needed to finalize it, otherwise it's just like not gonna go anywhere.
So then, yeah, we've got food here, there's the beer garden we got a little taste of, and goes right up next to the train, and you know, we've talked about this before, this was old train station.
Yeah, I'm pretty jazzed about that beer garden. You guys are gonna love this place when you see it, man, especially if you've been here before. It's something, man.
We got swings.
Yeah, high striker game. You guys make things.
Did you guys even see the high striker game?
Oh, I saw it there. Just like left
game. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, ironically,
like old school.
We were bidding on the bar. So the bar went to auction from this place in New Berlin, Wisconsin, and we're bidding on the bar
we're doing this
9 o'clock at night, and having a few drinks. Obviously, you know, you're talking about spending this kind of money on a bar. You gotta have a few drinks, and it's like. Did you see this high striker game? That'd be really cool.
So
yeah, one thing led to another, and we ended up buying the high striker game too. So now you know if you got last call and you need to make a loud noise.
We got that, yeah.
We got that we can do. We can have high striker night. I mean, it's not axe throwing or anything. But.
Sure, yeah.
It's not axe throwing yet. So I got a feeling this is just the beginning of what you guys are doing. You guys are, that's a very playful theme in here. We talked about the swings. There's some of the bench seating is the swings. There's a gigantic, like, I don't know, what is it, like a
hot air balloon basket?
Yeah.
It's a real hot air balloon basket. It is not functional now.
I would not ride in that hot air balloon basket, but.
There's a goddamn thermal aircraft basket in this brewery. Right? What's going on here, man?
Yeah, there's a moon man outside. There's a tribute, some trippy elements in here. It'll all come out.
You have to come multiple times to get it all.
So is the beer getting packaged here then too, or is there a canning line?
Yeah, we've got a canning line. So I mean, the beer we've been making beer out of this place for almost 2 years now. So it's just been obviously the tap room is taking longer to come through.
That's great that it wasn't like we got the space, COVID happened, and we can't use it.
Yeah.
You were already like able to be brewing and not be like waste the money. Just like someday.
It's but after OLSA, we have time to dial all of the recipes in. Totally. We know how to use this space, and we've gotten to get more creative with what we're putting out of here. And we now have all of that we can just present to customers who won't stop beating down the door. They're very excited.
I know. It seems like every 5 minutes someone walks by.
That was happening before you got here.
We didn't send them.
There's like crazy, it looks nuts outside, like the outside of the building. Like it's really eye-catching.
You want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
You want to know.
We're excited. We've got parking, so there's like 20 spaces there in the parking lot. So as long as you guys come here and get some food and beer from us, you know, it's not a bad base to have. And then we've got obviously the beer garden out back, man, which will just be a killer. Summer.
Yeah. Are you guys gonna play the music as loud as Maple Room?
we're gonna be having competitions.
I don't know. It's loud there.
I don't think we have enough speakers to compete, unfortunately.
We've become the old man. So
it's like we've got speakers, we can play the music, but yeah.
we complain about beer's too sweet and
the music's too loud.
And the music's too loud. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what we are anymore.
I will say, we're not, you know, Jeff and I are the youngest kids in on the table here either, but we did go out to try to make this place comfy and cozy, you know, and you'll see lots of booths around, chairs are nice and padded, and you know, we're hoping that it will be a very comfortable place for someone's going to want to come in and spend some time, and we didn't go down the picnic table and bench path, you know. I mean, intentionally, because we wanted to make sure that people can come in and just feel comfortable here. We want our beers are approachable, and you know, if you go on our website, it's a non-pretentious beers, you know, for everybody, and that's kind of what we wanted this space to be about as well.
How does the market work with your beers that people are responding to? Is it like, is there such thing as a flagship? You mentioned like four brands. Do some beers sell more than others, or do people's tastes just kind of constantly rotate? How do you focus on selling beers in the market for Ravinia?
Some beers do sell some more than others. I spend a lot of time looking at that data because otherwise, you know, if you're in the tap room and you hear from customers all the time that they love this beer, but you're not looking at the numbers, you think it sells really well, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does. Who knows? We actually made a change to our core lineup this past year. So we originally launched with the Stiepervien IPA, Grenfell Lager, we added in the Food Truck Pilsner, and the Flight of the Rooster Saison. And the Flight of the Rooster Saison was something that sold like hotcakes when we initially came out. It sold really, really well. Everyone wanted it. And somewhere along the line, people's tastes changed, and it wasn't really holding its own weight quite as much. It's still absolutely a fan favorite. I talk to people all the time. That's their favorite beer that we make. Raul said that was the one that he had had ahead of time. And we still plan on having it available as a seasonal, but it made sense for us to move that to a seasonal and bring in the Diversity Station, because we had done some kind of seasonal one-offs in the past that were this juicy session IPA, and they flew right out the door. So you look at that data and you say, well, maybe that's something that we need in our core lineup.
And now you're going to get a whole other, I guess, data. From here,
oh, yeah. Like, yeah. We don't even know what we're walking into.
We're starting to think in Highland Park.
So I'm excited to see what resonates with people at this location versus up north.
Yeah. Bro, how many people do you think it's going to take to run a joint like this? I know you're used to like super big operations. Like that place out in Stafford Park was massive.
Yeah, it varied at times over there, man. I think we could run it pretty smoothly with about five people and a couple of part-time people. Here, it's myself and one other co-worker full-time, and then we have someone coming in part-time to help out with packaging days. We still have the canning line, you know, it's still pulling off stuff, pack-tacking them, putting them on pallets and things like that. You know, needs a couple bodies on there, but I mean, the space is you know, we're full up in the space. You know, everything here is what we have and what we're gonna have. So realistically right now, until we, you know, see what kind of growth we're going to have from opening up the tap room here, seeing how people, you know, are buying more beer throughout the season, you know, it's going to be summertime soon, winter compounded by everything that's happened this last year has been really hard to kind of gauge growth going forward and everything. But honestly, it's been, it's been a two-man operation since I've been here, and it's been pretty manageable in that regard. And it also allows for us to really have a bit more of a conversation in there, man, with like, you know, an idea or something that comes up. Like, it's nice to have things that, you know, pave the way from, you know, like a flagship or like a core brand or something like that, some more experimental things that we want to play around with. And it's nice to have like, you know, a backboard, you know, with a coworker or something like that to kind of, you know, go back and forth with on those, because man, the sky's the limit, right? I mean, you guys have been trying a bunch of beers all throughout, man. It's, you know, Chicago's a great market, dude, and there's a world of beers out there, man, you know, like, and to play around with all these, you know, different ingredients and everything like that, man, is gonna be, you know, really nice. And I mean, the space is accommodating for what we're trying to come and bring out to everybody out here.
I feel like you're hitting it right at the right time. Like, early May is the plan open. That like pent up demand for people, and more people are getting vaccinated and in over the hump kind of thing. It's like people are just gonna be out here, want to drink.
We have packaged a lot of beer the last week and 2 weeks, and that we're basically just, we're primed, we're ready to go. Yeah. You know, we're actually just waiting on one little license from the state of Illinois. We got all our city licenses, and we're not going to run out of beer. That's the one thing. We have tons of beer back here. But like, you know, we talked about core brands and stuff, and when Raul came on and really dialing that in, but that's what's great about having your own space versus Contract Brewing is Raul's been able to do some fun stuff. Yeah. And like we have, you guys probably didn't even notice, but above your head are basically 4-inch planks of wood that can hold barrels of beer. In other words, for barrel aging. So Raul, you know, came up with this really cool recipe, you know, in the fall time frame. We made a coquito, and Raul can talk about that. And we actually put that in some rum barrels, and we're going to be doing, you know, a lot of that stuff too. And yeah, we have a bottle we can bring up. Raul, you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, so coquito, for people who are not familiar with it, it's a seasonal holiday, you know, Caribbean, Puerto Rican, coconut milk drink. You know, it's got spices, it's got rum, it's got a lot of rum. It's basically a good way to drink rum. So
that transition super fast.
You know? I wanted to, we were talking about some seasonal, like holiday beers. You know, we did a gingerbread stout, and something to kind of compliment that was this, you know, this big ass like cream ale with spices that was inspired by coquito, but the main goal of it was to put it into
big ass
rum barrels.
By the way.
yeah, 12%. So
13? No, it's 8.
Yeah. So you know, the goal of it was to put it into these rum barrels, and just had them sitting in there for a little while through the winter, and just got a chance to package this up. Maybe
too much of it.
About 4 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, about 4 weeks ago. So, you know, we're definitely really excited for this to come out, for it to be available for people to try out.
We're saving it for FOMAP.
Yeah, they just poured them out for us, and it's way lighter than I guess I expected it to be. Like, yeah, just the hue and.
I feel like you hear barrel age and you automatically think dark beer, but it
should
just
look like an oil can. Oil pouring out of the can. But no, that's kind of one of the fun. Like, this is nobody. I mean, maybe somebody has created something similar, but like, this isn't just trying to make another Goose Island barrel aged, bourbon barrel aged beer. This is like, really, it's just like nothing most people have ever had. It's just like, hey, what do you want to make? Well, they make this, like you said, this Puerto Rican rum. Okay, let's do this.
That's fun. I don't know
what to expect.
It's got a little cinnamon, vanilla, coconut, and then obviously the what you're gonna get picking up from the rum barrels. And
it's got a nice drinkability too, because you're starting with the non-stout.
Right.
Base.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try that diversity. Yeah, I gave that new beer a try.
Oh man. What else we got here? We talked about the space. We talked about when they're gonna open.
Tacos.
new experimental beers. It didn't dawn on me that would make more sense, that you would have way more stuff, way more options on beer because of the tap room. I didn't think about that part. I'm excited about the romp, right? Like, maybe it was a block away. If you talk 2 mile radius, shit, now you got like Rev and Metro, right? Mm-hmm. So that, like, I don't have to go far to hit a ton of stuff.
Yeah, Metro's literally like 3 blocks away.
Oh, they're that
And it's
close?
Straight up, this is Rockwell, so you go straight up Rockwell, 3 blocks. Okay. Maplewood's block away.
It's like an 8 minute walk to Metro.
So, that would be cool, man. How do you guys feel about like dogs and kids, that kind of stuff? What do people expect on that side?
Bring them. All right. We got a sample right now.
And we'll have a kids menu. I mean, very kid friendly.
It's very kid friendly. There's and dogs are welcome, not inside, but out back in the patio. So.
What are hours going to be, at lunchtime or after?
So we are intending to open 7 days a week, including lunch. Initially, because a lot of the office buildings and stuff are still closed. Yeah. So we're not going to be open during the week for lunch initially, but hopefully like early June, mid-June, we'll start opening full-time.
We will be open for lunch in June sometime. Yeah. It's just a matter of when. It's also a matter of like making sure we can staff up, making sure we're doing things right from the food aspect. We're obviously pretty comfortable with the beer aspect. We've been doing it for 4 or 5 years. You know, we've got the inventory built up to be able to really hammer out the beer. So we're not worried about that, but just in general, just making sure it's a good experience for everybody. We don't want to like try to do everything at once.
We've got a really good team that we've brought in. Like, in addition to Catherine, who's got loads of restaurant experience, we've got a new terrible at this thing. Thanks, man. thanks for looking after me. Gabriel Bowden, who was previously the GM at the Rev Brew Pub for quite a while, and then they're both like big beer guys.
Well, he was from Peace for a while.
Eric was at Peace for a long time, and then went over to at Bader Brow for a little while.
Bader Brow.
So he's been around the beer scene for quite a bit. So those two guys are rock stars, and they brought in a team to support them, and so it should be a good hospitality experience here.
Yeah. It's such a talented town, man. You're naming all these people and all these locations, and it's just, and Chicago loves new, right? So like, I'm super excited that you guys are finally online, and this should be fun, man. I'm really happy for you guys.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
So early May, check it out. We'll be here talking about it. I'm sure we'll be here again.
Yeah. food on next Thursday.
Yeah. Awesome.
This is cool, man. I'd like to thank the entire Ravinia cast and crew for hanging out with us today. This is cool, man. Yeah.
So yeah, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Check out Ravinia's website for all the beer releases or whatever's coming out and packaged. And yeah, we'll be back with more episodes soon. Take care.
Cheers.